We set a precipice, you may not have been here ages ago, because I've been at this a long time. To answer the question, how are you? Healed, thank you. There's a reason we do that. I want to give you five reasons. There's actually more than that. We're going to cover these five, probably not all today. When I was going over and studying and reading the scripture, I thought, wow, never get there today. Don't think we will, but there's your five-point outline. Healed, thank you. That's the topic. There's a reason we do that. So they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's your testimony. That's your declaring with your mouth what God has done through Calvary, through His blood. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that's in Revelation. That is when you declare what Jesus' blood has done for you. And you know it was done for you. And you know it's working mightily in you. And because of that blood, you are healed today. And so it's your confession of faith. You believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you have what you say. And so that is our confession of faith. So let's practice. How are you?
Healed, thank you.
How are you?
Healed, thank you.
It's very important to keep the word of God in your mouth. Now, the first reason we can say healed, thank you, is because the word says so. Yes. It's just very simple. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So when we speak the word of God and we repeat what God is saying, we're putting in our mouth words of truth. The word is always truth. It's not sort of truth, almost truth. It's not occasionally true. Some religion has it's true for you, but it's not true for you. And that's not true. Whosoever is very clear. God so loved the world that whosoever, anything that comes through the blood comes to whosoever. So it comes for you. God's word is true. Now, if you look at Hebrews 6, it's put slightly differently. God's word is true. We understand true and false, true and error. You know when somebody's talking to you and your heart says that may not be exactly right. But when you read the word of the living God, you know that is truth. You're reading truth. And when you speak that, you're putting God's truth in your mouth. You're saying what God said. Now in Hebrews 6:17, it's called the immutable counsel. Anything that's immutable is unchanging. You know the movie, I didn't see it, Mutant Ninja Turtles, but anything that's mutant is changing, mutates. But if it's immutable, it's not changing. And so 17, verse 17 says, wherein God willing more abundantly, and I love that, willing more abundantly. I mean, He really, 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 really was willing and anxious to do this for you, to declare this to you, to make sure you understood this, to show unto the heirs of promise, that would be you, the immutability of His counsel, that's His will, His purpose, His plan, confirmed it by an oath, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. God always tells the truth. His word is truth. He cannot lie. And His counsel, His word, His purpose is non-changing. You have that same in the final book of the Old Testament. It says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. It's really profound and wonderful to deal with somebody that's always the same. You know, if you have a friend or you have a neighbor or acquaintance where you used to work, that's sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground, that's really hard to deal with. And when you see them coming, you don't know if this is a good day or a bad day, or if they're up or if they're down, or if they're confused or if they're right on today. God's not like that. He's always right on. He's never confused. He always speaks truth. It says He cannot lie. You have that immutable counsel, never changing. You have that same in Titus Philemon, Hebrews, where it says God, in hope of eternal life, verse 2, chapter 1, which God that cannot lie promised. God that cannot lie. It doesn't say He won't lie. It says He can't lie. He's a God of truth. He speaks truth. His word is true. And He absolutely cannot lie. Well, that's why I can boldly say healed, thank you, because the scripture declares that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. If we were healed and I put the word in my mouth, I'm putting that truth in my mouth. I'm saying, I'm healed, thank you. Or I say, I believe I'm healed. Or God is working mightily in my body today. But we put His word, we don't talk about our feelings, but we talk about the word of the living God and put His word in our mouth, and we're quick to say healed. So they don't understand that. There's a lot they don't understand, but when you're healed, when your manifestation comes from what you have in your heart, that's why you say you're making a heart deposit. We put the word in our heart by speaking, and when our heart is full of that word, we speak out of the fullness of our heart. Out of the fullness of the heart speaks, the mouth speaks. And so when your heart is full and you speak out of fullness, you're going to begin to see your body shift gears and change. So you're talking constantly about about the word, about the truth. You're making a word deposit in your spirit, and your spirit begins to fill up with that. And once it's full and you speak, there is such a radical difference. It's not knowledge, it's knowledge acted upon. It's knowledge that's revelation and then acted upon. Revelation is when you open the curtains. You're sitting in the dark, but you turn on the light, you open the curtains, and suddenly you see. Revelation is when you see what you've not seen before. When I was putting this together, I thought about praying for the sick. I think we'll get to that down the line. And I heard this. Somewhere down the line, there's a seed of healing that can be planted in those that need. A seed of healing that can be planted. A seed of healing that can be planted. What you want to do is begin with yourself and put the word in your mouth. The word which is true by God that cannot lie. Now, you know Numbers 23 says, God is not a man that he should lie. You know men, they will lie to you, but God will not lie to you. Verse 19, neither the son of man that he should repent, hath he said, shall he not do it? The obvious answer there is, he said it, he'll do it. Hath he spoken, he'll make it good. When God speaks, when God says, God always makes his word true. So we're free to say, I'm healed, thank you. We're free to say, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. We're free to say, I serve the Lord. He blesses my bread and water. He takes sickness and disease away from me. The number of my days he does fulfill. I put that in my heart all the time. I want to make sure my heart is full of the healing word of God. I don't want to be caught empty or half full. You know, the modern cars, they'll tell you when you're fixing to be out of gas. Well, we should know our spirit well enough to know that we're just a little low on the Word of God and on the anointing of the Spirit of God, and that we need to recharge. And you recharge through the Word and by the Spirit, particularly praying in the Spirit. And you go over the Word over and over. Now, one lady told me she's been very, very ill and has been healed after many, 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 many months of suffering. And she said she had a word from the Lord of Scripture that came to her heart. And she went over it and over it and over it and over it. She read it and 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 read it. People say thousands of times, but sometimes it's about that many. And one day, that Scripture became alive. The life that's in the Word is quick and powerful. It means it's alive. It's not just a book. It's alive. You know, if you see a bug on the ground, you want to know, is he dead or alive? I mean, you're looking carefully. I don't particularly like bugs myself. I'm looking carefully. I might move a bug. I'm not moving a roach, forget it. But I might move a bug if I can determine he's really dead. He's really dead. I can do, you know, worms and spiders. I just don't like roaches, but I can sweep them up. You know, if you have to, you get your broom and your dustpan. You still have a dustpan? I do. And you sweep those things up. Well, the Word is alive. And it should be taken as alive. And when you begin to quote the word and speak the word from a God who doesn't lie, who said you were healed, who said Jesus' blood has healed you, he said you'd overcome if you'd put the word of the blood in your mouth and begin to say that. This came so alive in her that suddenly she was healed. But she had spent weeks and weeks and weeks going over that one verse that was granted to her by the Lord, that was quickened to her by the Lord. And sometimes, and I've heard this twice, it happened once to me, I've heard it from other people, it comes different ways, but sometimes it's like putting a coin in an old coin-operated phone. It goes click, 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 boom. And it hits your spirit, and it's like, I got it. And it's revelation to you. It's alive. You've got it. I had that one time, Miss Janet Brazee laid hands on me. And Brother Mark was doing one aisle, and because of the number of people, she's doing the other one. I didn't know it was her till later because I didn't have my eyes open. It was from that point on, when she laid hands on me, something entered me. From her hand, it went down and hit my spirit, and it went boom. And when it did, I knew I was going to go into parts of the world and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, because I'm not a preacher, though. Don't ask my children, because they think I preached, but I really didn't. I'm a teacher. And that word, that deposit came by the anointing. Well, whatever the word says, you say. It's the truth. It says God doesn't lie. Now, you might know Jeremiah 1, which says he watches over his word to perform it. That word watches is a strange word in our English translation. It's not watches. It's he performs, he hastens his word, the King James says. He hastens his word. It's really the word watches or watches over his word. It's chapter 1, verse 12. To perform it. Well, what is he watching for? That was also the word sleepless. The Berkeley translation says, I am likewise awake over my word to fulfill it. I'm awake to fulfill my word. So what is he waiting on? Why don't he just do it? See, a lot of religion says if God wants to do it, he will. So we're sitting around idling our motor doing absolutely nothing because if God wants to do it, he will. But God's given us responsibility, and I'm responsible for my mind and my spirit. I'm responsible to put the Word of God in me. I'm responsible to keep myself stirred up. You know, God doesn't stir you up. He said, stir up yourself. He said, if you draw near, so I make the first move, I'll draw near to you. I make the first move, and I'm responsible for my life and for the life of my children when they are small. So since God's watching his word, well, he's watching for my faith. He's watching for my confession. He's watching for me to draw near. He's watching for my effort. So I'm not hesitate to say what God said. In fact, I would be negligent if I didn't, because then I'm going to cripple my faith. Faith seems to be like water on a hot day. It seems to evaporate. I mean, you know, you had a puddle of water and then you didn't have a puddle of water. We have a low spot in our carport that collects water when it's damp and when it's raining. And you go out, sometimes it's perfectly dry. Well, I don't want my faith to dry up. I don't want to have a need. See, that's why a lot of people die. They got deathly ill and their spirit was empty and they didn't have time to fill up. They didn't have time to activate their faith. They were too far gone before their faith came. We need to stay on the ball every day. You're going to have a financial need. Eventually, you're going to have a healing need. And you need to stay full of that word. I like the little books that were written. There's several on the market that give you the healing scriptures. God's Medicine by Dr. Hagen. There's one by Marilyn Hickey, which I particularly like, one by Charles Capps. And any of those books, if you just open a, read a page or two every day, they're small. There's many books on prayer. I have some of those I really like. One by Barbara Arbo that has a whole section by categories on healing. And often I read those. In fact, I've read hers until I've read the pages out of it. It doesn't hold together anymore. I ordered some new ones. And keep that word before your eyes and in your heart. Keep it stirred up. Why? Because God's word is true. That's why I'm going to say it, because it's the truth. That's why I'm going to say it, because it says faith works. And faith is a process of what you believe and say. Look at Romans chapter 10. Faith works. It's what you believe and say. It's not simply what you believe. It's not simply what you have knowledge of. You can go to college, get your degree in engineering, and pass a test and not be able to sign a piece of paper until you've had 5 years of experience. You have to have a certain amount of experience in order to be legally an engineer. You have to have some training. It's more than the word that you learned. It's do you know what to do with that word? And see, it's more than I know Jesus died for me. I can know that, and there'll be people in hell that did know that. One little man lived not far from us. His son died suddenly, and his son was not a Christian. And when he was introduced to Jesus after that, he said, I'm not interested. I want to be with my son. And it didn't matter what you said to him. You couldn't talk him into it. He did know. He said, I know you're telling me the truth, and I know Jesus died for me, but I have to be with my son. And that's how he died, as far as we know. Well, it wasn't to have knowledge. It's you have to act on the knowledge. And the first action of your knowledge, the first action of faith is to say something. You know, and not to cater to your feelings. Feelings do not command us. You know, your feeling says it's not working. The hardest thing to overcome is to feel really bad, to have weeks or months of dilemma, to have a diagnosis that's critical, and to keep your confession strong in the Lord and in the Word. Because what you really want to do is lay down and complain that I think I'm dying here. I've been there myself. I don't know anybody that doesn't get there from time to time that really lets their confession slip because they feel terrible. They just feel terrible and you just want to say, don't you understand? I feel terrible. Wayne will ignore you if you try that at my house. He's not very good at, he'll not come into agreement with your feelings. Now look at Romans 10. This is faith works. This is why I'm going to say it, because it's a process of faith and faith is going to work. If I say it, if I believe it, I have knowledge and I believe what I know and I say it, then my faith is working. I can say I'm healed, thank you, because I've got my faith on the line. I'm meditating in the scriptures. I know the word is true. I know the scripture is true. Look at verse 6, verse we don't often read because we always start down verse 17. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. Righteousness speaks on this way. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what does righteousness say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Faith comes from the word. It comes from hearing. It comes from the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Faith comes. Must not have been there, one preacher said, for it came there, it wouldn't have had to come there. Well, once faith comes, and the reason your faith grows, Paul complimented the church of Thessalonica for exceeding growing faith. Faith grows. It grows through your confession. You know, a lady called me about a recipe, and she said, have you ever made that? I said, ages and ages ago. She said, well, I don't know. This sugar just says sugar. Is that confectioner sugar? Is that, they call it castor sugar overseas, and granulated sugar? I said, I can't remember. I just can't remember. You know what you haven't read and meditated on and said in a long time, done in a long time? It does slip from your memory. You forget. So she called me back about 30 minutes later and said, well, I tell you, it's not confectioner sugar. Well, it had been me. I should have pointed that out to her that I did not think it would be confectioner sugar, but I didn't say anything, and she made the wrong choice. Well, your choice is to find out the word is true. God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word is true. And God's watching his word. What's he watching for? He's watching you to put your faith on the line, your confession on the line. He's watching for you to hold steady in spite of how you feel. And then when he's watching over his word, he can perform that word. He can bring that word to pass in your life. And he is working, even when you don't feel like he's working. If he said he's working, he's working. Now, if I said I was working and you could see I hadn't moved in a long time, you'd wonder. But if I hadn't moved in a long time and I said I was working, I'm thinking a deep thought. I'm going over. In the middle of the night, I wake up and I can go over. I've had this lesson in my heart for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4. I've been working up to a point where I felt like I could present it correctly and stand under the anointing where the time was right. And during the night, it would come to me. It would just flash through my mind. I'd wake up and I'd go over it. Point blank. I teach a wonderful lesson to myself in the middle of the night. Probably better than you hear here. Probably, I don't know. But I'm going over and over and over and over and over those points. When I get up, I want the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has to have something to work with. You know, Wayne's been on an old picture kick, and he's gone through our albums, and he's putting them on a video site, you know, so we can have access to them. And I have my mother's albums, and my father had one album forever ago from when he was in the Coast Guard. That would have been World War II. And Wayne will say, who is this? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, who is this? And I said, well, it's really tall and thin. It's probably Travis. Do I really know? No, I don't really know. But he was the taller and the thinner of the group. And so that's probably Daddy's. Daddy comes from a very large family. It's probably Travis. And he'll say, who is this? And I said, well, maybe that's JB. I mean, I don't really know. You know, and when it comes to healing power, when it comes to walking with God, we need to know some things. We need to have some knowledge. We need to have some information. We need to study to show ourselves. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Need not to be ashamed. You're studying for your own benefit, and you're studying so you can help somebody else. I don't hesitate to say if people ask me a question I don't know, I said, well, I really don't know, but I'll find it for you. And I'm really faithful to my word to do that. One girl had a very complicated question and problem, and I didn't have a clue. And I prayed a long time, and I got her answer. But by the time I got her answer, well, it was about 2 or 3 days later, I got it from the Holy Ghost, and I knew it was the answer. I called her at work. She told me that's the number she gave me. And she wouldn't come to the phone. I said, will you tell her that this is Becky from Family Worship Center, that I have her answer? She's no longer interested. Since sometimes we get so busy in life, our interest level begins to wane. We have other things on our mind, you know, and things begin to fall aside that should be more valuable than life itself. More valuable than life itself. And you can put your TV program on record. If you don't have one of those machines, you get one. You mash that button, you record that program. You continue with your meditating, your reading, if God's moving in your heart, and go back and watch it later. It's a wonderful thing, those little machines. You have one of those? No! Oh my, you may have missed God there. Okay. That's the truth. You can just smash that button. You can come back to it any time for weeks. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you have to say something. Well, if you don't study to show yourself approved, you don't know what to say. And what I'm studying is the Word. I'm not so interested in what Joe Blow says unless he's quoting the Word, unless he gives me Word. When I came into Pentecost, I never heard of Dr. Hagin. His was the first book given to me. And I read it, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't know who he was. And so I checked. Every time he quoted a scripture or gave a scripture reference, I went to my Bible and looked to see if it was really in there. And see, I read it in context, see if he really used that verse. Because a lot of this was most of it totally brand new to me, to see how he used the verse. And I've got to become so acquainted with my Bible. You know the hardest thing in the world for Bible teachers to need a new Bible? This was no longer in print like this. And I write in my margins, which is a terrible, terrible habit. And over time, the ink fades and you can't see the print. Some pages you can't see what was actually printed for my writing all over it. And there's not another one. Now, you need to be that diligent, but use a notebook. Use your notebook. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you've got to believe something. You've got to have knowledge. You've got to know the word is true. God says it's true. I can say I'm healed. God said I was. I can say he sent his word and heal me. He said he sent his word. He said, I'll bless your bread and water. I said, he blesses the food that we eat. I can say anything he said. If I ask God today about my finance, he said, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given unto you. He said, if you tithe, the windows of heaven will be open for you out of blessing. He said, if you sow seed generously, you'll reap generously. He'll say the same thing today he's always said, because his word is true and he doesn't ever change. He's the same. And so what I'm going to do is work my faith, and I'm going to work my faith by taking the word of the living God and saying what God said. I'm saying it over and over and over again, making a word deposit. Now look at, let me see if I can find that. I want to read you this from Matthew that I quoted a while ago. Matthew 12:34. I want you to see it. Because it's written here in the negative, and I want you to see the flip side of saying the right thing. You can say the wrong thing until you believe it. Verse 34, generation of vipers. That's not a compliment. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you keep saying the wrong thing, you're making it. You're planting a bad seed. You're planting seed that's going to corrupt your heart, that's going to destroy your faith, that's going to lead you in the wrong direction. You've got to say the right thing. It's better not to say anything at all than to keep saying, you know, I feel terrible. I just feel terrible. One man, a businessman, felt to buy the business next door to him. It actually went on the market, and so he went over and made a bid, and the Lord had spoken to him that that was his building, that he could add it to the facilities that he had, and so he knew it was his building, but they didn't receive his bid. They received somebody else's, and the building sold. Now, he knew he had heard from God, so somebody asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going fishing. He's not willing to say another word because God has spoken. He spoke, that's his building, and he put in the bid what he thought he could pay. And see, anything else would be negative. Anything else would blow his faith out of the water. If your faith is anchored, don't unanchor it with your words. Out of the abundance of the heart, don't put anything else in there. So he was fishing. Some days later, when the realtor called and said, you know, the people that bought that building, they've changed their mind. They don't want it. He said, is your bid still good? He said, absolutely. Now, what if he had said, well, I don't know why we lost that. Gee, I don't know why that didn't work out. I knew that. I knew God spoke to me. That was my building. Now what am I going to do? And you put all those negative words and all that bad seed in you. That bad seed grows. You know weeds grow faster than plants. Have you discovered that? I was looking at the daylilies and wondering, they're in pots. And one of them I thought, is that a daylily in there or is that a weed? What happened to the daylily? I couldn't tell. So many weeds. Well, you can't put weeds in your heart. You got to put the word that's true. You got to find out what God that does not lie said. And you got to put that in your mouth. And if you can't put God's word in your mouth, then you shouldn't say anything at all. Put on your music. Get somebody to sing the word to you or your scripture tape. Or if you're really, really sick, get somebody to read to you. Because faith is going to work if you believe it and say it. The word is going to work if you believe it and say it in your feelings. Now, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith. That word sight covers the whole gamut of the physical senses. We walk by faith and not by the physical senses. In other words, I walk by faith. Faith comes from the word. I let the word guide my behavior and not my senses. Not what I hear, how I feel, or what I see. But I let the word and I walk is how you live. Everybody's supposed to walk. Unless you have some disability, everybody walks. You're born to walk. You learn to walk. You're supposed to walk. Faith is supposed to be walking all the time. Walking, walking, walking. But it isn't going to walk if I keep saying, you know, did you hear about my diagnosis? And you just, you know, if you get somebody that's sympathetic, you're going to go down the tubes together. The worst friend you have is a friend who won't say, now, wait a minute, wait, what did God say? Let's go back to what God said, who won't allow that. Hebrews 11, you know, faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen or not perceived. You see, seen, you're talking about the whole gamut of physical senses, not perceived by the senses. I don't travel as well as I used to, and it's the hardest thing in the world to get myself in faith over that. After I injured my back, traveling was very difficult. And I had to go to West Virginia last year, and I just really went by faith. We did fly. We didn't drive. I told Wayne from the beginning, my faith does not say drive. I'm sorry. I can't do that. That would have been a heck of a lot cheaper. But we didn't. We flew. But we sat in the airport. We had a long layover in Atlanta, I think. And we sat there. You know, in every fiber of your being, you'll say, I am so tired. And my back's beginning to hurt. And I hope they know I eat funny. Don't try to feed me something that I'm not going to eat. Because I am going to be polite and I'm going to eat what's set before me, but I'm not going to eat much of it if it's not on my approved. I have my own personal approved list that I wrote myself. That's where I got it. You don't get one. I wrote my own. Write yours. It's hard to stand in faith and say, we're going by the Spirit of the living God on the command of heaven, and we're going to arrive on our feet strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Lord's the strength of my life. That's Psalm 27:1. He sent His word and healed me. He sent His word and strengthened me. I'm strong in the Lord. That's Ephesians 6:10. It's hard, but it's absolutely essential to victory. If I yield to my feelings, if I don't put the word in my mouth, if I put everybody else's word and my doubt and unbelief in my mouth, now look at Mark 11. I'm going down the tubes. And I can't blame that on anybody else. And what the church world does, they say, well, you know, God didn't want you to get well. God always takes the blame. It's a good thing He's broad-shouldered, isn't it? Mark 11 says, have faith in God. This is how faith functions. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall what? Say. Shall what?
Say.
Unto this mountain, mountain of disease, mountain of lack, whatever your mountain is, say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Whatever your mountain is that you're trying to get rid of, you speak to that mountain. You say, you give that mountain God's word. You say, according to the word, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, so I speak to you, disease, and command you to cease existing in this body. And from that point on, I say, thank God I am healed. He sent His word and healed me, and I'm healed today. God is working, because healing begins in the spirit, so the body is not the first to know, it's the last to know that healing's working. Say this mountain, be removed, be the cast in, shall not doubt. You've got to believe God's word is true, that God doesn't lie, that He watches over His word, that He's out to perform His word. Believe that those things which He saith shall come to pass. Not believe what He's thinking. If I'm thinking God's healed, and I'm saying I feel terrible, I'm contradicting my heart and I won't get anywhere with God. Believe that what you say shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he shall have. It doesn't say he might have, he could have, I hope he'll have. You know, cross your fingers, give it a shot, you know. No, he said you'll have it. Did you say it? Did you believe it? Then you have it. It's just that simple. And sometimes this is the verse we need to keep our faith anchored. The word of God is our anchor. It's called in Hebrews 6, Jesus the anchor. Then it says, if I say unto what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Believe you receive, you shall have. Now, when you order something from a catalog and I'm number 1577, they'll say, hello, Miss Cumby, because computers are smart these days. And I say, how are you doing? And I say, I want to place an order. And she'll say, what do you want? And I say, I want catalog number, whatever. And I want this particular size. And she'll say, we have that. We're shipping that in the morning. Now, I believe I received that. I haven't seen it. I've only got her word for it. She gave me her word that it was there and that they would ship it out. It's a company I've dealt with a long time, so I know that they keep their word. If they don't, they'd call me back and say we made a mistake, which has never happened. But they keep their word. Now, it says, believe you receive and you shall have. The minute I requested it, told that mountain to move, or requested something in prayer, I know I have that. I have it in spirit. I have the promise and commitment of heaven. I haven't seen anything. If I have to see to believe, that's not faith. It's believe and then you see. It's when you believe you see, then you do see. You know, my vision's not as, I've worn glasses since elementary school, and Wayne has just worn glasses a year, and his vision's always been better than mine, and he and Suzanne discussing some bird on a fence post across the field. They're bird people. Suzanne's a bird person, and I'm just trying to find the fence post, you know. Now, where you've done that? You see that over there, and you're looking everywhere, you know, trying to see what they see. We were in a restaurant. We met my sister. I went in. Wayne Lett went to park the car. And he came in. I see he's looking here, and he's looking here, and he's looking here. And the man that seats everybody's going, he put us right over there because he knows we like it quiet. He put us in the corner. He did that on purpose because we eat there a lot, and he knows me. I don't want to join your conversation because you're so loud at the table next to me. I do not like that. So he knows that. Now, I'd be polite to you, but I will never sit near you again either. I'll be moving on. And so Wayne's looking everywhere. Now, he knows I'm in there. He let me off at the door. He saw me go in. He knows I'm in there, but he doesn't see me. Now, I know I have it. I haven't seen it, but I have it. God says I have it. He said, I'll perform it. He says, I'll do it. He said, you shall see it. I have it in my heart. I have it in the spirit, and I am going to see it. That's why I can boldly say, I'm healed, thank you. Or if you're a non-believer or a doubter, I might say, you know, God's working. God's working. I believe he's working. I had a doctor. I do admit I give him a hard time sometimes because I have to judge things by my spirit, not by theirs. Sorry. And he'll say one day, he's frustrated me. He said, don't you know you're going to die? I said, absolutely, I'm planning to die. He'd know what to say. I said, I'm not dying this year. I'm not dying in 5 years. And I won't be dead in 10 years. And I won't be dead in 20 years. He didn't ever say another word. He's through with me. But I'm not going. I appreciate his advice, and I run it through my spirit and realize that that's right. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. What you said is good. It's going to work for me. And most of the time, that's the way it works, almost every time. But they gave me a pill when I hurt my back that said, high risk of heart attack, stroke, and blood clot. Well, I'd have to pray over that. We ain't doing that. You do what you want to. It's not your body. This is my body. See, and I'm not going by man's word. I'm not going by how I feel. Simply going by what is written. God said, Becky, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. I said, I was healed. So when were you healed? 2,000 years ago. You know, if they're antagonizing you, you can shut them up in a hurry. They'll move on. Now look at, what do I want to do? Isaiah. Look at this verse in Isaiah 55. This is a great word to encourage us. It's not how I feel. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water and said, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. So he had the word. The first thing we do is get the word. He had the word. Jesus said, come. And he's walking on the water. It says, when he saw the wind boisterous, what caused him to lose out was his feelings, his sight, the wind blowing in his face. Well, I always say, just in case you don't know that I'm a smart aleck part of the time, he should have tried walking on the water on a day when the wind wasn't blowing. You see, that wind have anything to do with anything. You can't walk on the water if the wind's blowing or if it's not blowing. It wasn't the wind. It was his perception of the wind. It's what he let the wind dominate the word. He had the word, come, Peter, come. He had the word, but he let the wind dominate the word. And when the wind dominates the word, you begin to lose. And when my feelings dominate, and what happens when you begin to talk about how you feel? You never feel better. You always feel worse. You notice that? Y'all act like I'm the only one that's been sick. I'm not sick too much, but I'm real good at it when it happens. I thought I was setting the world's record on bronchitis, but I kept saying, kept talking, and Wayne kept talking in my ear. In the middle of the night, he said, I'm going to find Amber Rose. Where is it? That's my favorite scripture tape. And he couldn't find it and finally found it out in the car. Plugged it in at 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, we're listening to scriptures. Because it's the word that causes you to win. It's the word that brings faith. It's the word that's a hope. It's the word that's your anchor. It's not your feelings. You've got to have enough word to dominate your feelings. Now, when we had, last time Wayne washed our windows, forever ago, he didn't put the screens back in. You know, we don't open the windows. Do you open your windows? We don't ever open ours for anything. Never open the windows. And so he just didn't put the screens in there. Very difficult. Ours are particularly difficult to get in and out, so he didn't put them back in. So when we had hurricane before last, I said, you know, if we don't have, see, I'm preparing for the worst. I already got in my thinking. We're not going to have electricity. Won't be open for my windows. I mean, I got that figured out. Death and doom. Gloom. I said, you know, I need some screens. If I could just have, he didn't want to put screens in. I said, could I have my living room screens? Could I have a screen in the kitchen? Could I have just a couple screens so I could have cross ventilation? I'm compromising all down the line. I can see by the look on his face. Wayne has a very readable face. It says no screens. And so I'm just trying to negotiate a deal here. And so he did go put me some screens in. And guess what? No electricity. Had to open the windows. You see, you can have what you say. Now, that wasn't my fault particularly. Irma, Francis, George, what was that other one? But God, see, if you have faith, my sister calls and she says, I have electricity. She just lives across town. I said, I'll be right there. Close those windows. Don't need those screens. God made provision. If I keep his word in my mouth, he will make a provision. We were there for 3 days. Had three lovely days. 3 days before the electricity came on. We were out a week. See, if I should, why are you preparing for the worst? Why are you speaking the worst? Why are you talking about the dilemma? Why don't you prepare for rescue, deliverance, freedom? Why don't you speak to that mountain and say, come on down, mountain, come down. And God said if you spoke to it and you believed it, it happened. It will happen. It will happen. Not that you would see that it happens. Now when Thomas, we'll do the second and third one next week. When Thomas, they said they'd seen the Lord, but he hadn't seen him. Now, you know Thomas, they give Thomas a hard time. Called him Doubting Thomas, and that's not even fair to him. You know why the others believed? They'd seen the Lord. They weren't walking by faith. They'd seen the Lord. So they saw the Lord, and they saw the print, the nails, and it's the print where the nails had been. I just read about those nails, and I've forgotten the exact statistics. They would have weighed about 2 pounds apiece. They were huge. They would have actually covered and put out the whole palm of your hand. So history records they probably were put in the wrist like this and not in the hands per se. I don't know. But you look when you get there and see where they were because he still has those prints. And Thomas said, we saw the Lord. They believed because they saw. And Jesus said to when he said to Thomas, look, Thomas. He said, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He said, be not faithless. The faithless man is the one who has to see to believe. Thomas said, when I see that, I'll believe it. John chapter 20. So when I see that, I'll believe it. When I see that, I'll believe it. And he said, Thomas, don't be faithless like that. Don't be like that. See, when I feel better, I'm going to say I feel better. I've heard people say that. They're not ever going to feel better. Went to visit one man, precious man. He's watching National Geographic or something. And I'm not opposed to National Geographic, but it wasn't what he needed at the moment. Because it won't heal you. Now look at Isaiah. Did you find Isaiah? You can say you're healed, thank you, because it's in the Word, because it is written, because it's a sure thing. If you say it and you begin to believe it, it is happening in your spirit. It is going to come to your body. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. God said, I sent the word. He said that in the Psalms 107:20, I sent the word to heal you. My word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return void or empty or futile or lifeless or without bearing fruit. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God sent his word for particular purposes. And he wants us to grasp that word, to say that word. Now it says, I've sent my word and it shall not return. Who's going to return the word? He said, if I sent it, who's going to return it? We have to return it. And we return that word by what we say, by what we speak. We begin to return the word. Begin to return the word. Begin to say what God said. It's not that I felt better per se. It's just I've read the scripture. And I know how faith works. And faith works by what you believe and you say. And believing and saying, you're going to have to avoid your feelings. Now, here's reason number two. We'll just do that quick. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if He dwells in you, if you're born again, He does dwell in you. That chapter makes that very clear. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not Christ. He shall quicken my mortal body. Now, you look in the mirror, is this my mortal body? Is this your mortal body? Is this the one? Mortal, corruptible, perishing body. Quicken, bring life. The only way I know we use that word is when you cut your nail down too far. You say you cut it into the quick. That's the same word. The word is going to quicken. The Spirit is going to quicken. It's going to bring life. The Spirit has to have something to work with. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, that's the Spirit doing what? The Spirit, by orders of heaven, doing something without your faith. I just saw this marvelous thing, heard the most marvelous story on television. I've heard it twice now. Validated. A lady that came to a meeting that was blind, been blind all her life, and she had some kind of electrodes on her head. Don't know, he didn't know what they were. And he's explaining to her about God heal. Somebody brought her, and he's waving his hand because he talks. This man talks with his hands, you know, and he's waving. And she said that her chief, she was Indian, her chief had told her that God was just a rock. And so he was telling her God is the rock of salvation, but he's a person who is strong like a rock. And he's trying to get through to her, but he didn't get through to her. She said, no, I know my chief said this won't work. My mama said this won't work, and God's just a rock. He doesn't work anyway. And she said, what is that? What is that? And he said, that? What is what? He said, you see that? What is that? She said, yeah, what is it? Her vision was coming. Now, that was not faith. She didn't get that by faith. She didn't have any faith. She didn't even believe in God. That's God doing what He wanted to, when He wanted to, if He wanted to, because He wanted to. God who sees things bigger and better than we do. God did that. And she was totally, her sight was totally restored. You can sit around and wait for a gift, you may not get one. There's no guarantee on gifts. There's a guarantee is on faith. The guarantee is on the Word working. The guarantee is on you return the Word. God sends His Word. He sent it through the prophets. He sends it by the Spirit. And then the Spirit of God has, when I'm speaking the Word, the Spirit of God who quickens has something to work with. The Spirit of God has something to work with. He works with my Word. You see that, don't you? Quickens. Now let me show you one other that's quite interesting. 2 Corinthians 4:10. I love this verse. The Spirit works with the Word. The Spirit and the Word work together. The Spirit works alone sometimes without your faith. But He always works with your faith. Always bearing about in the body, this is the word of Paul, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Life, eternal life, is to be revealed where? In your body, not just in your spirit. It comes to the Spirit and you become a new creature. But Paul said that life, and he's talking about preceding this, all the persecutions. You know, if they throw rocks at you and you're laying there for dead and they beat you with so many stripes, you're going to have trouble with your body. It wasn't a disease. It's just your body's beat up because you're standing for the gospel and men didn't want the gospel. And he suffered for the gospel's sake. He said, but I bear in my body the dying. In other words, I bear the persecution and the consequence of that persecution. But the life of Jesus is manifest in my body. In my body, in my body, in my body. It's manifest, revealed right here in this body. Because the Holy Ghost quickens. Well, He's working with your faith. He's not working with your doubt. He's working with your confession. You got that, right? What a wonderful word we have. What a wonderful promise we have. We're going to have to crucify our flesh. That's what Scripture says, aren't we? One translation, Galatians says mortify and Paul says crucify. We have to crucify our flesh because flesh is always going to speak of itself. It's always going to tell you how it feels, what's not working, how hard it is. How unfair this has been. How long I've suffered. And you won't get healed that way. And you won't receive from heaven that way. Unless God gifts you. And a gift comes here and there. As God chooses. But faith works. And faith depends upon what you believe and say. And what you believe and say ignores your body. It doesn't say what the body says. And then the Lord can what? Quicken your mortal flesh. Quicken your mortal flesh. Quicken. Bring life. Eternal life. Works in the spirit. Comes to the mind. Thank God it does. Works in the body. That's why I can say heal, thank you. And when I ask you how you are and you say healed, thank you, that's your confession of what you believe. That's your confession. That's part of what you believe that you say because you do believe it. And so how are you? How are you? How are you? We need to say it. My daddy, we gave him a bell. He wasn't real mobile. In the end, not mobile at all, and we gave him a bell. My mother was a bell person. She had lots of bells. So we just confiscated one of mother's bells, gave it to daddy. 24 hours later, he turned his back, and I got rid of that thing. So much for the bell. I mean, ring, 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 ring. That bell just, it made a lot of sound. If some always somebody shaking that bell wanting something. And I'm agreeable, but I have to have some rest. And Wayne and I look at one another and I say, your turn or mine? Whose turn is it? My sister would come and stay all day some day so we could have a break. See, your words of confession should be like that bell. The bell of the word should be ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. Somebody, you should irritate somebody that doesn't believe. They should say, if you say you're healed one more time, I'm not having lunch with you. And I said, fine. That's fine. Faith irritates the non-believer. You should be irritating somebody. But if you're really a believer, you're not going to irritate me. I won't come into agreement with you. We thank you, Father. What a wonderful, wonderful Father you are. Read it, say it. Couldn't be much easier than that. Read it and read it and read it and say it and say it and say it. And watch it work. Watch it explode from the spirit into the mortal flesh into the body. Watch the spirit in the word come into agreement and put us over. Watch us walk on the water in the face of the wind and be unaffected by doubt. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Shore us up. Help us to see ourselves and see our own need and where we need to make a little change, a little improvement here. Tweak something there. Stop saying this over here. Thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We so appreciate the faith system, the ease of the system. It's not works, it's not labor, it's not toil. It's just say it, say it, say it, say it. Faith works because the word is true, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen.